Good afternoon, everybody. We have a very interesting subject today. The way to the realm of heaven on earth, to opening the consciousness, to witnessing the creation of God as it is, in all its harmony, only comes through meditation. There is no other door. Unfortunately, the world has not realized this. It is only now about 10 years since the idea of meditation became known throughout the world. Until then, most of us walked in one of two ways: in orthodoxy or in metaphysics, completely unaware that the teaching of the Master was to go within to a new dimension of ourselves. And although many of us now have established the regular habit of meditation, it is a very common occurrence to notice that in spite of our good intentions, our dedication, our understanding of principles, we are still pursued by problems. So we have a right to say to ourselves, why? If I am doing all that I know how to do and applying myself with sincerity and loyalty, why do I not show forth the fruits of meditation? Why do I solve one problem to turn around and face another? Why does my situation in life remain so unstable? Why do we fluctuate in health? And why are we always drawn into the world's problems so that somehow, instead of having the dominion we are given in the Bible, we find ourselves subject to inflation and deflation, war, racism, inhumanity, and the long inventory of the ills that beset us? When will my meditations bear the fruit that I had every reason to expect they would? Now, if this were a beginner's class, we would go over the basics very carefully. We would outline the purpose of meditation, the techniques, the barriers, and we might have some special tips that would help you deepen. And we shall try to do all of these things today, but it would be a disservice to you if that is all we did. If that is all we did today, 5 years from now, many of us would still be saying, why do not my meditations bear fruit? So we have to do something more today. We have to roll away a stone that we do not know exists. We have to find and understand one missing link, which is possibly the greatest barrier between a successful meditation and a meditation that never kindles a fire. And so we must come to not a quasi or pseudo-truth. We must come to an ultimate truth, a truth that never deviates, a truth that is absolute. And when we understand that truth, we will know what stone must be rolled away in order for a meditation to take root. Some years ago, there was a book And it was either called Bridey Murphy or The Story of Bridey Murphy. And as you remember, this woman knew all about her past lives and wrote about them. Not only did she know about them, but she was able to speak about all that she did with such intimate detail, down to the actual dialects and languages, the costumes, the idioms of the day, so that everything was recreated with no effort, simply by memory recall. Many people were astounded because here at last seemed to be proof that we all had these many previous lives, because this woman, with unerring detail, was able to present many years which he would have no way of knowing about except through a total recall. And so men came from many parts of the world to interview her. And when they did, they discovered, to their complete astonishment, that everything rang with authority. She gaily told them this and told them that, and there was no place they could find a flaw. Authorities walked away baffled. They had to admit this looked like the real thing. It was one of the biggest frauds in all of the literary world. Such a perfect fraud that even the author was unaware of it. Under hypnosis, this woman had been fed information completely, taking in to her mind all of the facts that later, when out of hypnosis, seemingly normal, seemingly like everyone else, she recalled with no problem whatsoever. So that she herself believed the thing she was writing. She had no way of knowing that the thing she was writing were given to her in a period of trance, and that she was now merely parroting that which had come not through psychic recall of many yesterdays and many past lifetimes, but she was merely responding now in this post-hypnotic state to the stimuli given to her during the trance. This still is not common knowledge, at least not publicly. Now, recently there was an article parallel to this, which bears a great importance in today's discussion. It's about a representative in New York who did the following. This is a United Press release. Representative Allard Lowenstein of New York plans to introduce a bill tomorrow to curb the use of hypnotism in police investigations, which one psychiatrist says can make people honest liars. To support his opinion, Lowenstein conducted a demonstration of the power of the hypnotic trance at a news conference yesterday. Charles Snyder, a 40-year-old New York City businessman, was hypnotized and fed information about some mythical blue berets. Later, newsmen could not shake Snyder of his conviction that the recent Green Beret case was really a cover-up for the top-secret blue berets who kept the Vietnam War going and were responsible for campus disorder and racial unrest. Snyder even feared for his life. Now, Dr. Hubert Spiegel of Columbia University had this to say. What we are doing here today in court is often done unwittingly by police and prosecutors. The power of suggestion made under pressure can induce an hypnotic trance in some people and make them honest liars. Medical data suggests that one in five Americans is capable of going into a self-induced hypnotic trance. Lowenstein's bill, then, would prohibit anyone from being hypnotized in the clinical proceeding unless he had given permission after being informed of the nature and the risk of hypnosis and the qualifications of the hypnotist. The congressman said that the most flagrant abuse of hypnotism occurred in 1966 when a Connecticut hairdresser was convicted on a narcotics charge, and the prosecution failed to disclose that one of its witnesses had been hypnotized, and a federal court has ordered a new trial. Now take you and make believe that you were this man, Charles Snyder. You consider yourself level-headed, and you're hypnotized into the beliefs that he was hypnotized into. So now you're convinced that the blue berets are really the power behind the green berets. The green berets are a front. They are prolonging the war. They are provoking campus disorder. And not only do you know this, but because you know this, you know that your life is in danger and you fear for your life. Now, this happened in open court to demonstrate that the human mind, when under hypnosis, fed certain information, will cling to that information, fight for it, defend it with unshakable conviction. We were really seeing, unknown to those who made the demonstration in court, the nature of the hypnotism that affects everyone, not one in five. For example, we are told in Scripture that God is present everywhere, omnipresent. And what's more, the only one. Now, if you look around this room for God, everywhere you look, you will be thwarted. Instead of seeing God, who is ever present and the only one, you are going to see your neighbor. You are going to see people in a classroom. Well, where is God? Scripture also tells us that the spiritual universe is here at hand now. That the harmonies of the spiritual universe are here. Scripture also tells us that we were created in the divine image and likeness. And you realize that it's not very likely that the divine image and likeness ever goes to a hospital or has an accident on the freeway or in some way has troubles of any kind. So wherever you look, you are not seeing that divine image. You are not seeing that spiritual universe. You are not seeing God. But that's all there is. I am the Lord thy God, and beside me there is none other. If you can look at what is but not see it, and see what is not, you are hypnotized. And what's the difference if you say that the green berets are the front for the blue berets, or if you say, I am sick, I am unhealthy, I am unwell? The divine image is your name, and your hypnosis is that you are not the divine image. You are unwell. You have a problem. You are not a spiritual being. You are flesh and blood. This is your hypnosis. Do you know anyone who is not under the hypnosis of the belief that he could be sick, that he could lack funds, that he could be limited, that he must die? Is there anyone who is immune to this hypnosis? And therefore, when you try to meditate while under this hypnosis, you cannot receive the fruit of the meditation. Just as this man feared for his life and was unshakably convinced, and probably would still remain convinced if he were not taken back into trance and given the truth to be freed from his false conviction, we too must be taken into truth to be shaken from the false conviction that there is an imperfect world in which we walk. Because we do have that conviction that this is an imperfect world. We know it because we have seen it and we have experienced it. But so did this man experience blue berets. Now, one of the absolute truths we must learn to face as students of truth is that what we call human vision is but a concept. What we call human hearing is but a concept. What we call human experience is but a concept. All that we know humanly represents our sensory evidence. But the senses themselves are physical. We have a physical eye, a physical ear. The organs of the body are physical. We have a physical heart, a physical brain, physical lungs. And if they are not perfect, could they have been made by God? Did God make anything physical? We find that we must worship God in truth and in spirit. We find that God's creation is spirit, not matter. And therefore, the hypnosis consists of the belief that matter is here, physicality is here, and we believe it because we trust what our senses report. But the very senses themselves are physical matter. And they were not created by God. And so the faculty which we trust to deliver us truth is a faculty that was not God created and has no capacity for truth. It makes us believe that which is not real, that which is not true. And we, like this man, walk out with the unshakable conviction that this that I know is truth, when it is not truth, but rather the lie based upon the non-existent false physical senses which were not created by the Father. The entire teaching of Jesus is based upon the fact that the human race is under the hypnosis of the senses and the mind. That every man, every woman, and every child on the earth for all time, up to this moment, completely walks in the hypnosis of the senses, and that we are sleepwalkers, actually walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth without realizing it. Now then, when you sit down to meditate, who is sitting down to meditate? The individual who is a physical being with five senses and a human mind. And he says to himself, I've been doing this for 5 years, but nothing happens. He can do it for another 500 and nothing will happen. Because before you have the right to expect an audience with God, you must come to God's terms. I am the Lord thy God, and beside me there is no other. Now, what is a physical image sitting down to meditate going to achieve if he has himself here and God there, in duality, in two-ness, when the very purpose of all meditation is the realization of oneness? Do you see the stone that must be rolled away before you're even ready to seek the Word of God within you? The stone is this. And perhaps the best way to find it is to meditate along with me right now. We're going to do what you should be doing every morning of your life. Until this is so completely your way, your understanding, your consciousness, that you're doing it everywhere at every moment without even trying. Rolling away the stone of a human personality. Now, I would be one with God. I would love to listen to the still small voice, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to know God aright, to live in the realm of truth, of reality. And my journey within cannot really begin for three reasons. I cannot insult God by having a problem, for the Father has stated that His universe is perfect. I cannot insult God by bringing in a human physical being, for God created none. All was created in the divine image and likeness of spirit. I cannot insult God with a false identity or with a false error. I must go into meditation on the terms set down by God, that I be pure at heart. Blessed only are the pure at heart. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall see God face to face. I must do something that my human mind has ever refused to do. And I begin with accepting the Master Jesus as my guide. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I'm ready now. I want to know the truth that will make me free. All right, the truth we will begin with is God is all, and God is spirit. Is that the whole truth? No, it is not. I might just as well say that birds fly. That will not help me to fly. It is only an approach to the truth. God is all. What's the other side of the coin? The hypnosis that I must overcome is that God is not all, and that there is me here as well. That is the beginning of the entrance to the doorway of meditation. God is all. God is spirit, and therefore, there is no me here. There is only God here. Ye shall know the truth, and only the truth shall make you free. Are you ready for the truth that you are not here and God is? If you are, you're ready to meditate. If you are not ready, you may continue in your method and wonder why the fruits do not come from your meditation. You will find that as you roll away the stone of I, me, the self, the person, the personality, the physical being, being a reality, you will be admitted to the secret place of the Most High, to the living word of a living God, and you will receive in your meekness that of the Father which is necessary for your present experience. It isn't a question of realizing oneness through the meditation, but accepting it before the meditation. God is the only presence in this room, in this world, in this universe. The only presence where each of us stands is the invisible God. And when you do this in preparation for your meditation, you will find that you are the prodigal returned, and the Father's arms are stretched out open wide, saying, Son, I'm so glad you returned. That's only the beginning. But it's the great stone that all of us have failed to roll away. And in our duality, in our house divided, we were unable to receive the grace, the harmony, the fruits, the joys, the one perfect self-expressing where we stand. Now, once you accept this, when you awaken in the morning and you try to enter the spiritual realm, always you will see the barrier which somehow prevents you from making the contact that is so vital to making your day a day in the kingdom instead of in the world. So each day you roll that stone away. You are dying daily to the self that God did not create, in order that the divine image and likeness of your true being may reveal itself. And as we do that now, there will be an activity in your mind which refuses to let go. In your first attempts to do this, the activity of that mind will be the strongest. But it cannot win. The self of you, the real self, has been given dominion. And the struggle now is, will the mind dominate or will you dominate that mind? It insists on a life of its own apart from God. Your spiritual consciousness tells you that just as the wave and the ocean are one, I and the Father are one, not two. There's not an ocean and waves, but they are the waves of the ocean. And I and the Father are one. The Father is individualized as the I that I am. There is no separation between God and I. There is no place where God ends and I begin. There is no place where you can say, here is me, and over there is God. There is no place where the wave is separated from the ocean. There is no place where the Son of God is separated from the Father. Nor is there a place where a wave is separated from another wave. All are in oneness. We learn to accept this, that there is no real separation between me and any individual in all time and space. We are all one in infinite spirit, and that infinite spirit is the only reality, the only presence, the only law, the only substance, the only activity, and that is the activity of my being. Now I am ready to dine at the table of God. Now I can be still. I have erased the me that is not. There is no one here but the Spirit of God, the presence of the Christ. In this you find stillness is automatic. You are in the silence because the stone of mentality and all that it brings to you has been rolled away. I know from experience that each day as this is practiced, it deepens until there really is a realization that there is no me present. Me has never been on this earth. There never was a me. There has only been God appearing through human sense as this me and that me and the other me. Only the one being, ever harmonious, ever perfect, and ever present everywhere. And now the peace begins to steal in. As I learn, there is no me to fear about. There is no me that is subject to external powers. There is only God being throughout the universe, everywhere, wearing the image mask that the human mind gives to personality. Only the one infinite self exists. I begin to feel this, to know this. And as I feel it and know it, I begin to feel the substance of God where I stand. I begin to know the contact which is confirming the truth that there is no separation and never has been between the Son and the Father. It has all been a hypnotic separation. Not a real one. I can never be separated from my Father. And my Father does not end at a certain place and then I begin. We are one. I and the Father are truly one without separation. In this acceptance, in this self-crucifixion, resurrection is almost instantaneous. And as the self-crucifixion continues, the resurrection is quickened. The health is restored. The supply appears. The harmony becomes manifest on all levels of our experience. The presence that we are acknowledging to be the only one reveals itself as the only one. And only the laws of the divine become visible in our experience. The fruit falls off the vine as supply, health, harmony, peace, beauty, love, truth, and assurance, confidence that where I stand is the Father. That is why this is holy ground. We have never been separated, nor can we ever be. Now my meditation, the meditation in my heart, is actually God expressing, revealing, inspiring, directing, feeding, sustaining, maintaining, glorifying itself. The stone is completely gone. It doesn't have to be rolled away. It was only there as an hypnotic suggestion. The false belief that the Father could be separated from the Son. We have left the land of the senses and entered the eternal now, right in the present. And there is no one who cannot benefit this way. We are restored to the reality of being. We are made whole and complete. We lose the fear that there's such a thing as old age or powers that can torment me. We learn that this very presence that we feel within us also goes before us. It remains behind us. It blesses and prospers every act. It is a reality. And it is our own being we are speaking about. Now that is the first and major error overcome. In all of the meditations of the people of this world, wherever you have an individual going in to meditate in order to find human betterment or better health or better conditions, you have duality. And you have a guaranteed failure in that meditation. There is nothing we can seek in a meditation successfully, because you must go into the meditation with a realization that there is no error in the universe of God. There is no error on this earth, for this is the universe of God. When you go into your meditation, pure at heart, leaving your problems outside is a realization that those are problems of a false me, a false personality, of a hypnotized individual. When I go into this meditation, I must know that I cannot expect God to come into my living room if it's untidy. I cannot expect God to enter a habitation that has not been prepared for the Holy Presence. And so I must offer the purity, the oneness, the awareness that where I stand, there is no error. There is no problem. I must accept that I am under hypnosis if I believe there is a problem, and that this is not the kingdom of God. And I must reverse that. So I accept here and now that because the presence of God is everywhere and there is no other, this is the kingdom of God, and all error must be hypnotic influence without substance or reality. Now I am acknowledging Him in all of my ways, with heart, mind, body, and soul. And I will not pin error on my neighbor. I will love him supremely as myself. What have we done? We have recognized that all of the individual waves are really the ocean. And we have misperceived the ocean. We have misperceived God. But that doesn't change God. God is. There's nothing you can think or say or do that will change God ising. And where is God now? What is God doing this very minute? Being God. Being the law of His universe. Well, where is it? Tucked away in a corner somewhere? This is it. But the senses cannot report it, and that is the nature of hypnotism. That's making a blue beret and creating errors that do not exist. So don't go into meditation to improve yourself, to heal yourself, to remove errors. You're making a mistake. Go into meditation with the acceptance of the presence of God where you stand, which presence automatically makes impossible the presence of any error where you are. And as you do this, you will feel the fruit of it. You will feel the contact. You will feel the presence. And you will dissolve the false sense of self, which is reporting a claim that can never be true. We are watching many students come into this confidence, and their health is showing it, and their claims are diminishing, and their lives are beginning to show a glory they had never suspected existed in their own being. They are glorifying the Father instead of the human personality. Their meditations are deepening and bearing fruit because they are knowing the truth that sets them free before they go into the meditation. They are doing the preparatory work. They are rolling away the false sense of self. They are removing the barrier which causes the belief in duality. They are realizing the oneness that exists not to be sought, to be found, but to be accepted now. There's none of us, then, who does not have the power of spirit within him to be released, if we will but release ourself from the belief that there is a human selfhood standing in our clothes. You may find it difficult, but it is the only way. If it were known, many of those around the world who are meditating would find that contact which they have been seeking but not finding. If it were known, we might find a greater measure of peace and freedom in the world today. But be sure that when it is known in you and practiced in you, the peace and the freedom must follow, for that is divine law. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth must make you free. It's a hard truth, but it is truth. It is accepting the highest dimension of your being as the only dimension of your being. Infinite self, everywhere expressing, and that infinite self must be the substance of your being. And then the greatest line, perhaps, in all of the infinite way, when you find the presence of God within yourself, you are one with all spiritual idea throughout infinity. You are one with the ideas of divine consciousness everywhere. And then you see why there are absent healings. Why you can heal somebody in China. You see why the invisible mind, which knoweth your needs, can pour forth beyond your ability to receive it, that which you need, from the remotest corners of the universe. Because when you have found the presence of God within yourself, you have found the kingdom of God within. And it is never separated from itself. It is always one with itself everywhere. And so you, in the realization of the fact that the presence of God is where you stand, and only that presence, you have released yourself from false selfhood and have learned that you are already one with the entire spiritual universe. There is the infinite power that can now show forth and multiply in your meditation. Now let's do it just once more to get the idea. And it sounds rather difficult at first, almost impossible. But after a while, it begins to be the only way. If God is all, then the major hypnosis that confronts me is the belief that I am here. I cannot be. God is not flesh and blood. But God is all. Therefore, that which appears as flesh and blood must be something else. And we know through our studies, through our meditations, that this something else is a mental image, a concept we entertain about our own spiritual being. The very Spirit of God is your substance. And therefore the law of your substance is spirit, divine. And that law being perfect, your substance must ever eternally be perfect. It does not age. It does not deteriorate. It does not even change. It is eternally perfect because it is the substance of God. This is the teaching of the Master. I and the Father are one. And as we accept this for ourselves, the great miracle of life is that there is only divine life. All that is not divine is not. has no existence, there's no need to fear for it. It isn't there. There's no need to worry about it. It isn't there. That which I am is the divine self, fed by itself, sustained by itself, protected by itself, activated by itself. And so I wait upon the Lord, and as Isaiah said, those who wait upon the Lord shall fly like eagles. We shall soar out of the false into the real. Right here, right now, in our realization that loving God supremely means there is only one divine self on this earth, and that divine self is myself, yourself, his self, and herself. I am eliminating all false concepts. I rest in my Father, knowing the Father alone stands where I am. Now take another step. Something in the mind says, well, what about such and such? What about this, and what about that? This is the recurring hypnosis that is trying to reclaim a foothold. And so right now, to that recurring idea, what about this and that, you say, if I have just confessed that only God is here, then this and that other thing cannot be here. I must overcome that belief, that hypnosis, if I would be faithful to my acceptance of only God being here, I must equally know that nothing else can be here. And that is how I will overcome this world. No, I don't have a problem in my mouth or toe or foot or heart or brain, because only God is here. Only God is here. But what about the hungry? What about those killed in war? What about those in the hospitals? Only God is here. Ever the mind will try to intrude on your newfound conviction, and ever must you take a whip and cleanse the temple of the money changer. The idea that insists, but look, you can see with your own eyes there are people in hospitals. Yes, I know, and I can see with my own belief that there are blue berets like this man in a trance, this man hypnotized and now with his eyes wide open, fearful for his life, because the front of the blue berets is the green berets. A businessman like some of us, a normal, intelligent person. And that is what is represented by the idea that there are sick people in hospitals. There are people dying. There are people getting old. These are the blue berets, the hypnosis of the human mind, which does not accept that God is all. Now that's where you will turn and live. Will awaken from hypnosis, meeting this at the level of the one, only the one. You're laying down your life, but accepting your divinity. And in that, you have rolled away the major obstacle to a successful meditation. Again and again and again, your mind will rise up and confront you with new evidence. And every time you must confront the mind with a statement that if God is all, you have no existence. I have no human senses. I have no human mind. God is all, and God does not have human senses. God does not have a human mind. God does not have a human body. I am pure spiritual being, and the hypnosis is that I am physical human being. This we must meet again and again and again until the reality of it is clear to you, and then you will find meditation is not an effort, not a task, but an opportunity to witness miracles. We're going to pause after a moment now, and then we'll return in a few minutes. Let's make it a long intermission this time, about 7 or 8 minutes, so that we can prepare for the next level of our discussion. If you can, during the intermission, try to hold on to the idea that even though you're seeing people, God is all there is. Certainly you can do that for 5 or 7 or 8 minutes. And no matter what you do, retain that idea in the back of your consciousness while your eyes are seeing people, while your hands are shaking with people, while your mouth is talking with people. Remember that the allness of God never changes in spite of what images may come through the senses to the brain. And then we'll be ready for the many barriers that face us, the many ways to overcome the barriers, and methods of deepening and expanding consciousness through meditation. We'll see you then very shortly.